It's Wednesday, April 30th, 2026, and what was inevitable has become reality. In the last several hours, the occupation navy has launched an illegal military interception in international waters against a peaceful flotilla of over 50 vessels carrying food, medicine, and nearly 1,000 civilians from 45 nations. We are talking about freighters, fishing boats, and yachts, not warships, that departed from Barcelona, Marseille, and Syracuse with an innocent cargo, baby formula, surgical supplies, and flour destined for a starving, bombed-out Gaza, where even painkillers have become a luxury the dying cannot afford.
The Israeli military says it has begun seizing aid ships headed to Gaza.
Israeli Navy forces have intercepted a flotilla bound for Gaza, detaining dozens of activists on board.
Israeli military forces have intercepted vessels of the Global Summit Flotilla using drones, communication jamming, and armed boarding teams to hold the humanitarian fleet in the middle of the Mediterranean.
But the truly explosive development breaking right now is that a Spanish warship, the BAM Furor, a maritime action vessel deployed directly by Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez from Cartagena, has engaged and fired upon buzzing drones that were swarming the civilian boats, flashing lights, dropping percussion grenades, and jamming radio frequencies in what can only be described as state-sanctioned aerial piracy. So let us be absolutely clear on what this moment means. For the first time in modern history, a European government has moved from issuing toothless statements of concern to actively positioning its military assets between the occupation's killing machines and a humanitarian flotilla, and fired on them when they threatened Spanish and international civilians. That is a seismic shift. Before I unpack how we got here and what happens next, if you believe that honest journalism still has a place in exposing the hypocrisy of those who bomb hospitals while calling themselves the region's only democracy, you need to like this video, share it, drop a comment, even if it's just a full stop or a Palestinian flag emoji to fight the suppression algorithm, and subscribe to this channel, because the truth is expensive and your support is what keeps it alive. Now, let's talk about the flotilla itself, the terror it is facing, and the incredible stand Spain has taken. The Global Sumud Flotilla represents the second major civilian attempt to bust open the maritime siege that has choked Gaza since 2007. You'll remember the first flotilla back in September of last year, nearly identical in mission, also attacked by drones and ultimately boarded in international waters by occupation forces, who detained over 450 participants, including Greta Thunberg, confiscated the aid, and deported everyone in a flagrant violation of every maritime convention on the books. This time, organizers were determined not to be intimidated. After a massive organizing push throughout the winter, the spring 2026 mission set off from Barcelona on April 12th with stops in Sicily to link up with Italian, French, Turkish, Malaysian, and other vessels, eventually swelling to a remarkable 56 confirmed boats, with some reports suggesting the total, including support craft, has touched 100. We are talking about seasoned sailors, lawyers, doctors, parliamentarians, and activists from across the world, all united by the simple, radical notion that children in Gaza deserve milk and that cancer patients deserve chemotherapy drugs. The names of some of the vessels read like a United Nations roll call. The Bianca from Italy, the French Venus, the Safsaf, the Bella Blue, the Mystere, and the Gaia. Aboard are at least 10 Malaysians, a significant contingent of Spanish activists, including Pablo Quesada Martin, who has been broadcasting harrowing video updates, and hundreds of others whose only crime is refusing to accept that a blockade which has rendered 1.5 million Palestinians homeless is somehow a legitimate act of security policy. Now, from the moment the flotilla left Syracuse and began its open water transit toward the eastern Mediterranean, the occupation's military was shadowing it. At first, it was the routine psychological harassment we have sadly grown accustomed to. Drones doing low flyovers, the sudden loss of GPS and satellite phone coverage, and the bizarre but well-documented tactic of blasting music over VHF radio frequencies to drown out emergency communications. But as the flotilla drew closer to Crete, still over 600 nautical miles from Gaza, let me repeat that, hundreds of miles away from any coastline that could even be remotely considered contested territory, the harassment escalated into direct assault. Multiple participants report that around 12 drones swooped in on the fleet, some dropping what eyewitnesses describe as percussion devices that emitted thick, acrid smoke, while others flashed blinding strobe lights directly into wheelhouses to disorient captains. Irish activist Sarah Clancy, speaking from aboard one of the vessels, called it an act of piracy, plain and simple. Boarding parties in rigid inflatable speedboats then began ordering participants to line up at the front of their boats, to get on their hands and knees, pointing lasers and semi-automatic assault weapons at grandmothers and medics and students who came to deliver flour. The organizers' central communication hub lost contact with 11 boats simultaneously. The result, according to technical analysis, of targeted jamming and possibly the physical seizure of those vessels far from any cameras. At least 7 boats have been confirmed intercepted and their crews detained, with the occupation's UN ambassador Danny Dannon having the audacity to call them delusional attention-seeking agitators. Yes, the man representing an entity that has slaughtered over 72,000 Palestinians, that has systematically demolished every university in Gaza, that has turned hospitals into mass graves, dares to call peace activists delusional. The moral bankruptcy is breathtaking. And then Spain did something that no one expected, which is exactly why you are watching this video. The Spanish government had been monitoring the situation in real time through its defense ministry in Madrid, acutely aware that dozens of its own nationals were aboard those boats and that repeated diplomatic protests over the previous year had been met with nothing but sneering contempt from Tel Aviv. Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez, a man who has transformed Spain into arguably the most principled European voice on Palestine since the genocide began, gave the order for the maritime action vessel Führer, a 94-meter warship carrying a crew of 46 sailors, 10 marines, and a fully equipped medical team, to close in on the flotilla and establish a protective perimeter. According to reports filtered through Spanish media, when the drones, unmarked, weaponized, and menacing the civilian boats, refused to move off and, in fact, attempted additional provocative passes over vessels flying the Spanish flag, the Führer engaged its close-in defense systems and fired. Let that sink in. A NATO member state's naval asset has fired on aerial drones deployed by an occupation military to terrorize a humanitarian mission. Sanchez's statement from New York, delivered on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly, was crisp. I want to make it clear to the government of Israel that Spain will, of course, protect its nationals, and we will do so both diplomatically and politically. But the Führer's presence means the protection is no longer merely diplomatic. It is kinetic. Italy, too, dispatched the frigate Virginio Fasan and later the Alpino to escort the flotilla, with Defense Minister Guido Crosetto condemning the attacks in the strongest terms and confirming that Rome views the operation as a potential rescue mission, not an exercise. This extraordinary decision by Madrid did not come from nowhere. To understand the ferocity of Spain's stance, you have to look at the deliberate and escalating confrontation between Pedro Sanchez and the occupation's leadership over the past 30 months. Very early in the assault on Gaza back in October 2023, while the Biden administration in Washington was rushing 2,000-pound bombs to Tel Aviv and the European Commission was dithering over whether to freeze aid to UNRWA, Sanchez was already describing the bombardment as disproportionate and warning that it risked destabilizing the entire region. By May 2024, Spain, alongside Norway and Ireland, formally recognized the state of Palestine, a step that infuriated the occupation's foreign ministry so greatly that it summoned ambassadors and issued humiliating travel bans on Spanish officials. Sanchez did not flinch. In fact, he escalated. In September 2025, in a televised address that stunned the diplomatic world, the Spanish premier announced no fewer than 9 measures targeting the occupation, starting with a royal decree criminalizing arms exports to Tel Aviv. He declared that no ship carrying fuel for the occupation's war machine would be permitted to dock at any Spanish port, that Spanish airspace was closed to all aircraft transporting weapons or ammunition bound for the occupation, and that anyone directly participating in what he explicitly called the genocide in Gaza would be barred from entering Spanish territory. He banned imports from illegal settlements, ramped up humanitarian aid to 150 million euros, and increased funding to UNRWA. The language he used was not the careful, vetted terminology of a politician trying to please all sides. It was the language of moral clarity. This is not self-defense. It is not even an attack. It is the extermination of a defenseless people. When the occupation's foreign minister Gideon Saar predictably screamed anti-Semitism, Sanchez's government coolly pointed out that Spain had granted citizenship to 72,000 Sephardic Jews, descendants of those expelled in the 15th century, and that its quarrel was not with Judaism, but with a regime that bombs hospitals, kills journalists, and deliberately uses starvation as a weapon of war. Now, the defenders of the indefensible, and you will see them flooding the comments section shortly, mark my words, will regurgitate the tired talking points. They will say that Hamas has infiltrated the flotilla, that the activists intend to smuggle weapons. It is the same lie they trotted out against the Mavi Marmara in 2010, when occupation commandos rappelled onto a Turkish passenger ship in international waters and executed 9 civilians, shooting one of them, a 19-year-old American citizen, 5 times at close range, including once in the back of the head. It is the same lie they used last year to justify boarding Greta Thunberg's boat and dragging climate activists off to detention. The reality, borne out by every inspection and every independent verification, is that these flotillas carry milk powder, anesthesia, bandages, and baby clothes. The occupation's demand that the flotilla divert to Ashkelon and offload its supplies there, to be added to the deliberately starved queue at a land border that functions as a choke point, is not a reasonable security request. It is the logic of a prison warden who insists that all food parcels must be inspected by the very guards who are implementing the starvation. How absurd to claim that medical supplies for cancer patients must first be routed through the same checkpoints where occupation soldiers have been filmed, gleefully, destroying water purification systems and shooting at children. You cannot regulate genocide and call it due process. You cannot claim to be upholding international law while simultaneously committing, according to both the International Court of Justice and the International Criminal Court, plausible acts of genocide and crimes against humanity. And so, we arrive at the question hanging over the Mediterranean this evening, what happens next? The occupation has already seized multiple vessels by force, and those who have been taken into custody are being transported to an unknown location. The flotilla's communications remain severely disrupted. Organizers are frantically trying to establish contact with the 11 missing boats, while 17 vessels are reported to have evaded the cordon and slipped into Greek territorial waters, which may provide a temporary breathing space, but raises the possibility that Athens will be pressured to expel them, or to allow occupation forces to continue their operations within Greece's sovereign zone, a scenario that Varoufakis's outburst suggests is not unthinkable. The Spanish furor remains in the vicinity, and the Italian Fasan is joining it. The question is whether the occupation will risk escalating further against 2 NATO navies, a confrontation that would be unprecedented and catastrophic for whoever fires the next shot. My suspicion, having watched this regime's behavior for decades, is that it will retreat into bluster and diplomatic retaliation, banning more European ministers, summoning ambassadors, and dispatching its apologists to CNN and the BBC to talk about the Iranian threat while being unable to explain why it is so terrified of a few crates of baby milk. But bluster will not erase what has happened. The mask is off. A European warship has drawn a line in the sea, and the occupation, for all its drones and speedboats, has been made to look like what it always has been. A cowardly bully that can only operate with impunity when the world looks away. Spain is refusing to look away.